This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Heartbreak for our guy Ethan Morton in Colorado State, Donnie. I don't know what else to say. Heartbreak. Derek Queen, freshman at Maryland, after Colorado State hits a rainbow three to go up. Derek Queen, a running wrong way, kind of against your own momentum. Did he travel? Did he not travel? Bank shot. And our guy Morton was on defense, and I don't know how you can play it better if you're Ethan.
I don't think he could have.
Without fouling the guy, I don't know how you play that any better. He gave him a little body bump that I don't think you're ever going to see get called there, to Ethan's credit. I think that's smart ball. He pushed him away from the basket. He made him take, I think, a shot that even for a big, strong, tall 6'8 guy is probably a very difficult shot, and the guy made it. I'm crushed for him. He did everything right.
He could not have defended the play better.
I was happy, by the way, he got some plaudits from people who were basically like, Ethan Morton did nothing wrong there. Ethan Morton was in his face. That's as tough a shot as you'll ever see a guy
make. The guy just made a hell of a shot. And I know people were upset that there was no travel call, and that created some controversy after the game.
Was there consternation, Don? Enough for a consternation hour tonight.
The guy made a hell of a shot. It was one of the best games of the entire tournament, which I feel like has been lacking. We've gotten some very good games. I don't want to take that away. I thought St. John's, Arkansas, from bell to bell, was very entertaining. A ton of talent was on the floor. Later that night, BYU and Wisconsin was a great game. The first one from yesterday,
Did you say Florida? Yeah, Florida-UConn, man. So let me tell you quickly. I don't think the tournament's been that good as far as upsets, obviously, like you said. I think you're right on the money. I was sitting there while that game was at halftime going, like, kicking myself for this reason. Because the one game I felt really strongly about that I did not pull the trigger on as an upset was, I was like, UConn can beat these guys. Like, a lot of people think Florida is the team this year that can knock off Duke or Houston or whoever. I just said, Hurley, like, he's a great coach, kind of an a-hole, great coach. They're talented. They just don't D up a lot. And for the first half, really the first 45 minutes of that game, I thought they were just tougher, stronger, better. They were playing good defense. It looked like two number one seeds, honestly, in talent. And UConn's probably closer to a number one than they are a number eight in talent. And then, I immediately felt smarter when Florida pulled away. But I was in that, like, oh, no, what did I do? I didn't trust my gut. I'd be, like, winning all these pools, or I'd get right back in it with a big upset call here, and then it got taken from me. Dan Hurley, not a gracious winner or gracious loser after his team's bid for a three-peat was upended. I hope they don't bleep you. I hope they don't do that to you. Talking about the officials, mind you. In a game where I did not really feel like Connecticut was victimized by, like, grotesque miscarriages of justice.
I might be off base here because it's not like I'm watching every single college basketball game over the course of a season and I'm not watching every single UConn game over the course of a season. But for a guy who has won a whole lot and he's won back-to-back national titles, they had one of the more dominant runs I've ever seen.
It's the most dominant run I've seen other than UNLV, I think, in the early, late 80s, whatever, that first UNLV team that won it. I think even they had one close single-digit game. That last Connecticut run last year was obscene.
But it seems like every time they do lose,
yes,
Dan Hurley finds himself as part of the headline, complaining about it.
I think he's one of two things, man. I think you either love it because he's a character, and you don't hear anything about him being like abusive to players the way Bob Knight was, that's obviously bad. I mean, in that game, he's the way more likable coach because Todd Golden had a lot of investigations swirling around him for being like a very bad creep, among other things. But I think Dan Hurley is a classic. You either love that he brings like an element of like he's a villain and in Connecticut they probably love him to the table, or you just hate his guts.
I think he's great for the sport.
As long as he's like
characters like that.
Yeah, the only thing that would make me mad is, and I've never heard him do this, as long as he doesn't get mad at the fact that if you're going to act like that, you're going to get killed by some people. And do like the self-righteous, little old me, Dan Hurley. As long as you can like dish it out and take it, and I can say like, yeah, he seems like kind of an a-hole, then I think you're good. Speaking of which, here's how you, in a more classy manner, deal with an official's call that most definitely did not go your way that actually decided the game.
I think there was a time and a day when that would have been a travel at the end of the game. I wonder how you feel about that.
I haven't seen the video yet. It's going to be hard for me to watch. I'm sure I will at some point. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But it doesn't matter. They didn't call one.
That's Nico Medved. He's the he was the Colorado State head coach. Maybe he was so sanguine about it because he knew he was taking the Minnesota job today, Don. He was on his way out the door.
And then we'll see how many guys follow him.
So that play, I didn't look up like the college rule book or if it's even defined as such. If that's the NBA, it's never called traveling. That's the gather step. When you're dribbling, that first step after you've finished your last dribble is a gather step. Then you still get two. So anybody that is a huge NBA stan will tell you that is why in the NBA no one even blinks at that, because that is you gather the ball and then you get two steps, right? It looks like three, but whole point. I've seen people say the gather step doesn't exist in college basketball, but to me, that is very much a case-by-case judgment call. And if you're going to say that the gather step is legal, then that's a legal play, and as much as it pains me to say that.
Didn't Gene Steratore defend the no call after the game?
Oh, I missed that because I was out and about yesterday afternoon. He did? Okay, then I think
believe he did, yeah.
That's how I've seen it adjudicated at the highest level of basketball. And I know people get mad at the NBA, it's not as good, or I don't like the product, but if that's what they're doing at the highest level, I feel like that's what they should be doing in college.
That only makes sense.
It's the reverse of 2 feet in the NFL, 1 foot out in college. It would be like suggesting that the college rule should actually be more punitive for lesser skilled players. If anything, you should want that in there for college players and not want it for the NBA. Easier to make, like, to make baskets, period. Yeah, to me it was a gather step and two steps and then makes a ridiculous shot.
Yeah, he still had to make a just high level of difficulty.
Ethan's hand was about, at the point of release, his hand was maybe 2 or 3 inches below that basketball. So I got to tip that hat there. My final is still alive, but my bracket's dead.
Well, that's how I feel.
I'm toast. I went 15-16 on day two and then 6-8 yesterday in the games. And just the other 2 days, day one and day three, I got destroyed.
I feel like any other year, if I had my whole Final Four intact and, what, 3/4 of my Elite Eight intact, like I do with my champion in there, I would feel pretty good. But the lack of upsets that have taken place, the lack of a Cinderella, it hurt me in the first round, So everybody is probably under that same circumstance. Like, how many people out there have lost their champion already?
You got mauled by the same little pod I did. I had San Diego and Yale coming out of there, and then San Diego in the Sweet 16. Instead, it was chalk.
One,
it was Michigan, A&M, and then Michigan with a little mild upset, I guess you'd call it.
I had like three or four double-digit seeds making the Sweet 16. The only one I didn't was one that made it. That was Arkansas, and that's just because I hated picking that matchup when it got to Arkansas and St. John's, because I so badly wanted to see Slick Rick go on a run that I didn't pick Arkansas. But I feel like any other scenario, that's an easy pick for me.
Man, that team is weird, because I don't think Calipari is any great shakes as a coach on game day. Like, I think his strategy in game is lacking at times. Like, the trouble they had inbounding the ball against Kansas, where they had to burn two timeouts. But he gets dudes. He just gets dudes, man.
I think I'm going to bet on them to win the national title next season. I just have a feeling that team's going to turn into a juggernaut. Maybe not a dominant-looking team like Florida, maybe.
I think our pal Pony may or may not have a 65-1 preseason shot on them to win it for an amount of money I know is very high, because he refuses to say what he put on it. He was pins and needles watching that
game. But
you
know that team's going to be loaded.
What do you make, by the way, to end it of this Amir Orakhan, the manager from McNeese State, they got bounced. Six figures worth of NIL deals. He's got 12 of them. Buffalo Wild Wings, Tick Pick, TurboTax. He's got an Under Armour flew reps into Providence to give him a custom jumpsuit for their second round game. Thoughts?
The Rizzler of the NCAA tournament.
I think I respect the hustle. I do. And the players actually seem to really like him.
So then he is going to follow Will Wade to NC State. That's also news.
I mean, if you're Will Wade, why wouldn't you make sure that he follows?
But then my question with that is,
did, like, the NIL deals follow him? They have to.
Well, that, but, like, you know, I know that college kids don't like doing this nowadays, but eventually you do have to graduate or at least move on from college.
Does he really? I mean, he sounds like he could just be somebody that does that. Hey, I'm Amir Orakhan of my life.
I'm not saying that, like, he can't keep doing his job, but how will NIL work for him when he is no longer a college student? Like, he can still...
That's what I mean.
He can still be the team manager.
Oh.
But how could he keep collecting NIL? Like, the kid has to graduate at some point here.
I mean, don't you just, if you're him, like, get a job on the staff and, like, couldn't he, like any coach, just take an endorsement deal? I mean, Saban and Dion were doing deals while they were coaches. Why wouldn't he be able to just be on staff and have some commercials?
That's what I think his option would have to be.
Yeah.
Just take the same position
and then
do
just,
that.
All right, pay me the same stuff you were doing. It shouldn't matter if he's no longer the student manager. You think he'll try to be like the Van Wilder of student managers? He's just in his ninth year of college collecting NIL money?
He might as well. There's already kids in their ninth year of college.
Can you imagine America's sweetheart Joe Smeltzer getting this windfall instead, having been, like, being a team manager?
He'd be that type of guy,
right?
Too.
That's what I mean, dude. When I thought
everybody
of, like,
would love him.
When I thought of who in your crew would have been perfect for this, it was him or Big Chase.
Oh, God.
Big Chase in a tracksuit, putting out Bible verses, rebounding basketballs, collecting Buffalo
like
Wild Wings
Dog
money. Oh, God. Okay, that's enough. Let's cut this off right there. I feel bad for our guy, Ethan. I want to shout out, because I wasn't on the air, I want to shout out, because I know Andy went on with Pony. Man, did they give Alabama a hell of a game. Hell of a game.
They're the only true lower seed that didn't just lay down and die.
Yeah, you're right.
You could put Wofford in that category,
for
too.
For a little bit, but yeah, you're right. First round, they were the only big underdog.